Sorry about that. So welcome everyone to the Green Team meeting. This is the October 21st Green Team meeting. Let me pull up my screen to share one more time. Great. So I'm so happy for those of you who are able to be here live and in person, and hopefully this recording is helpful for any of you who are just here to kind of check it out. I will say right up at the top here that we do these meetings once a month. They're always for now on the third Thursday of the month from 1 to 1:45. We'll keep them on Zoom, at least for this semester. I think we'll see how things go once people and hopefully everyone in their household can start to be have a chance to get vaccinated later on. Then we may switch back to in-person or hybrid. But for now, we're sticking with this. So this is where you'll find us on the third Thursdays of the month. So this is our little usual agenda. This is more or less the structure we follow for most meetings. So we spend a little time doing intros, announcements, and then a debrief and discussion and planning for what's coming up next. So that's that. So we will just do this briefly. We got to introduce ourselves just for a moment a second ago. So if you each want to just say your names and which program you're on, you're doing here at the Ed School, or which department you're part of, and what's on your mind this month in terms of sustainability. If you feel like sharing that, you can also pass on any of this or if you're not interested. I'll go first. So my name is Anne Sargent. Again, I work with operations and sustainability and been doing the role for about 5 years. So it's been interesting to see the work evolve. And like, it's great to get to work with staff members like Mayanne and Eric, who have been here for some time too, as well as the fresh energy that those of you who are students here for either like about a year, maybe two come with. So it's a great mix. On my mind in terms of sustainability is just like, I think the headlines, like I'm excited to see what's gonna happen with the COP26 meeting coming up in Scotland starting, I saw today, it's starting on the 31st of October going through November 12th. So I think that'll be interesting, but just there's so much going on in the news in terms of climate and to some extent biodiversity, just all the planetary crises. And I think it's an interesting moment to be living through. And I'm excited that this little group of ours exists to do what we can for it at the Ed School. That's me. Anybody else want to jump in on this topic? If not, then we can pass. That's okay. We did introductions earlier, but thank you again. I'll just point out that Carrie and Naomi are both current students, which is excellent. And Eric and Mayanne are staff members. So thank you for being here. Okay, so a few announcements, lots going on. There's this group that's university-wide at the university called the Council of Student Sustainability Leaders. And I'm very excited that this year we have three students from the Ed School who are participating in that, who are selected to be on that. So that includes Stacey Jason, who was one of our sustainability fellows last year and is a continuing student at the Ed School, Kathleen Dillon and Michelle Lane. And if you go to green.harvard.edu, we have, and just kind of search under programs, we've got like profiles of each of them up there, which is really nice. So check that out. Another thing I can share, which I'm super excited about because this came up fast and just last week and we've managed to move fast on it, is this winter clothing drive and closet. So the new associate director of DIB, if I'm getting it correct, at the Ed School, Yvonne Garcia, she and the Office of Student Affairs reached out to me and some people at operations about running a winter clothing drive and closet. So we're pulling it together as fast as we can. If you have any things to donate, you can currently drop them off in the vestibule in the entryway there at Gutman. And we're looking for jackets, coats, accessories, so scarves, gloves, hats, all of that. Boots are fine too. And for both adults and children. So our plan is to collect what we can in the next week. It's going to be a pretty brief collection period. Then we're going to quarantine everything just for safety's sake with COVID going on. So kind of leave it untouched in its own space without, you know, just letting it kind of sit there and have some space from any kind of contact with other people. And then we're going to open it up to everyone in the community who's interested in either getting something new to you or like swapping out. Maybe your sizes have changed. Maybe your needs have changed. Maybe you're just getting here from a warmer climate. So like the idea is just to kind of make that material available and accessible for everybody, especially since many people that come to the Ed School really just are going to need this for like one season. And so I think it's great that that's coming together and we're just excited to make it happen. And hopefully we'll make it like an annual thing moving forward. And the other thing that's been good about it is it's like a sort of a stand-in right now for a free cycle. In the past, we've done these like everything is free to you yard sales. We would do them during core shopping week each semester, but we're not doing those right now just because they really used to be just like you would have everything on a table and people could browse and help themselves. And that was great and always really popular, but it just doesn't make sense from a health point of view right now to do it in that kind of format. So stay tuned on the like shopping closet version of the winter clothing drive, but the drive is underway now in case you're interested. And then I've highlighted a couple other things that I'll just go over quickly, and then I'll let you guys take the floor in case there are things you want to share as well. So I've organized this talk next Tuesday for the other half of my job with Harvard Real Estate. We're going to be doing a talk with Harvard Recycling and our recycling hauler, which is Republic Services. They're going to be just chatting with us about like the basics of recycling, compost, and reuse at Harvard. That'll be virtual. I believe it'll be recorded. That's going to be Tuesday at noon. And I'm looking forward to that. So they'll give us some updates on how and if COVID has impacted waste practices at Harvard. So it should be good. We had done a similar talk on commuting options the beginning of or mid-September. So I put the link in there in case any of that's interesting, especially for Harvard employees. For students, you can always go to the Office for Student Affairs for resources on that. And then there's one more farmers market next week. So check that out. And then the last thing, we can talk about this now if you want, or we can cover it towards the end of the meeting, but I just wanted to see if you guys would have any interest in like a gathering, just a social meetup at the Ed School. I could probably provide lunch, or let me stop sharing here for now. But just to do something in person, because it's been forever since we all got to see each other. And with all those of you who are new to campus, it would be the first chance to get to see each other in person. So I want to keep the meetings kind of, you know, online for now to keep those more accessible and safe. But I think if we do an outdoor gathering and we find a time that works for people who are interested, it could be fun. It's an idea. Cool. Yeah. All right. Nice. Two thumbs up. All right. I'll take it. Do you guys have any other announcements of things to share? There's always, Stacy, Jason, actually our sustainability fellow from last year was doing some work into how crazy it is to try to keep track of all the environmental things at Harvard, because it's just broken into so many different branches. But are there any things going on in your courses or departments or elsewhere that you'd like to share with the rest of the group?
No. I was actually going to ask about intersectionality with other departments at Harvard.
Great.
I don't personally know of anything except for things that I occasionally see and think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But that does seem like a great first step, is to get all of the sustainability news in one place so people are aware of how much is going on.
Right. Yeah. The closest thing we have to that is green.harvard.edu. So we have a running list of events there and a ton of resources. It's great. But then Harvard being Harvard, there is on the academic side, there's the Harvard University Center for the Environment. I'll put that in the chat here. It goes by the acronym HUES. And they have a weekly newsletter. It's just like, it goes on and on. The School of Public Health has amazing events going on. It's like, if you look at a lot of the different schools, there's some amazing work and resources. And most of that should be somewhere on green.harvard.edu. But yeah, bring up a good point. And then in terms of intersectionality, I think that is the main, aside from dealing with, or as part of really dealing with like these current environmental crises, there's going to be a much bigger focus on equality and equity and diversity, inclusion, and belonging in the next version of the Harvard Sustainability Plan, which is currently being hammered out with like by a group working on that university-wide. So I know that that's a big focus moving forward, but yeah, even for the Ed School, I feel like that's really where the next big work is just like finding ways to focus on topics that intersect with education, but are like also covered, you know, touch on the environment. So whether it's environmental justice issues and how that shows up in a classroom or educational setting. I don't know, it goes on and on. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's the area of focus. And it's always like, how do we continue to work closer? There's the Harvard University Native American program, HUNAP, just down the street, and yeah, we need to be working more closely with all of these groups. So it's just sort of beginning to take shape, but I would say it is on our radar at least, which is good.
That's great.
Any other announcements you guys have to share?
I have one other question.
Yeah.
From someone mentioned this to me, and I haven't actually seen any articles about it, but that Harvard pulled financial investments out of petrochemicals.
So is there,
is there, I mean, that seems really cool and definitely worth broadcasting. Is there information that can be shared in that space?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can share my personal opinion, of which I've got a big one. It's not the stance of the university, but it's my opinion. So the deal with divestment is that students were, primarily students, but alumni as well, were really pushing and organizing for the past 10 years to get the university to divest its investments from fossil fuels. And they claimed a victory last month when President Bacow announced that the few, it was like less than 2%, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, of their investments were invested in fossil fuels. And the ones that were still invested, they were gonna let it just kind of expire. They weren't gonna be extending those or renewing them. So he announced that, which was great. And the whole divestment movement at Harvard was really thrilled and ecstatic and happy that their hard work was paying off. But meanwhile, it was kind of like the usual politics at Harvard, because instead of being able to just own that and be like, yes, we're divesting and this is how we're doing it and this is why we're doing it and it's important and valuable because this is where we are as a global community and what we need to be doing is the right thing to do, like the BU president was saying. Harvard did not do that. And in fact, like my office was not directly involved with that because we were told, oh, it's the Harvard Management Corporation, the HMC, that makes these decisions and we're not part of that. And it's like, okay, but sustainability is in our title. So people are going to have questions and we need to know how to handle it. And then we were like, so can we use the word divestment? And we were told a week later, no, you can't. Like the university doesn't really want you using the word divestment. And I'm like, okay, so it's highly politicized, basically. They've made their choice not to consider it as a divestment. And they also were kind of downplaying it by being like, this is something, this is just an announcement again of a decision that had been made already that has already been discussed several times. It was just like very cloudy, I feel like, in terms of the communications around it and probably, honestly, in my opinion, deliberately so. But yeah, the good news is that Harvard is winding down its fossil fuel investments. And so essentially divesting. And it is hugely important because there's been a huge number of organizations that have already made that move. We're not at the front of the pack on this. This has already been going on for a while. But again, it's like better late than never. And I think it is really good that we're doing it because that's in terms of impact, that's like a huge area of impact. So that's my two cents. Do you guys have experience with this information as well? Anything that you can share from your perspective? No, quite a group today. Anyway, I'll get off the soapbox. So that's my opinion. You can hear things differently from different places, but I just think it was like, to me, it was wild because I was reading about this stuff, like this is what we do day to day. And yet I was finding out about it like everybody else through the headlines, you know, and through the news coverage. And it's like, this seems like something we should both be acknowledging and calling it what it is, but also celebrating. And instead we're kind of being told like, oh yeah, let's kind of keep it quiet. So that's that. But Harvard is the status quo, so what can you do? All right, let me pull up my screen one more time. So just a debrief, let's see. We've had the Sustainability Fellows application open that closed. I'm happy to say that Carrie applied, which is really exciting. So we're gonna be in touch with you in the next week. But yeah, we had that application open through October 1st, just to give people a chance, like a few weeks to get to it as the semester was getting started. And Eric has generously offered his time to work with me to review those applications. So we're going to be finalizing our reviews and thoughts on the applications and reaching out to everybody by next week with the decision about who's been selected to be this year's HGSE Sustainability Fellows. I just was wondering if you guys have thoughts on kind of how the application and promotion part of it went. I did two virtual info sessions. They were not super well attended, but okay. And yeah, we got three applications, which is fine. That's reasonable. It's good. Because we're not looking to work with like a huge group anyway. We're not going to be able to select more than 3 to 4 anyway, given that my position is just 10 hours a week and I'll be working with people one-on-one. So yeah, I just wanted to give you guys a space to just share thoughts on if you heard about this happening, if you have suggestions on how it could be improved for next year, this piece of it. I'm open to input.
I saw the info session was helpful. That
good.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I wanted to apply, and because reading the information that was sent through the, I think there was an email that went out. Probably how I found out. And reading the stuff in the email, I wasn't really sure if I want to do this, but I saw there's like info session that I could come and have a look at what is actually going on, because this is a bit different to how I experienced like student groups related to sustainability in undergrad. So sure if, like, because this is like a fellowship, which I wasn't sure what it is, but coming to an info session really helped to make that decision of do I want to apply.
Yeah. That's good to know. All right. So that made the difference. And a little bit of clarity around the word fellowship and what that means. We chose the name as a green team a few years ago when we started this program. We chose the name Green Team Fellows because we liked it. We liked that it had made it clear that it was more on the side of academics and everything, and geared, of course, towards the students. But it was somewhat of a spontaneous choice. So I will think about that. And if it doesn't, yeah, it makes sense to continue to call it that, then maybe we can rename it. Open to feedback on that too. Because there's not like a funding piece directly related to it. We have the student grants program that's university-wide, which is explicitly like you're applying for funding, and if you get it, you get it. This part is going to be more like I have a somewhat limited budget, and if people need to tap into it, then we'll be able to, but it's somewhat limited. So that's good feedback. Thank you. Great. Any other feedback on that? No. Okay. Then I'm going to move on to our next part. Okay. So the main thing I was hoping that the second item I have down here is about climate change ed with Subject to Climate, which is a new organization started by some recent HGSE grads. And they were going to join us if they could. I don't know if they've had trouble. So we'll put a kind of put that aside for now and just focus here on the time that we've got on choosing a green team project for the year. So the green team is, I would say the driving force behind it tends to be staff, just because of the currently short nature of the grad programs at the ed school, that the staff, whereas like staff have many staff stick around for many years. And so that helps to keep kind of like the institutional knowledge going and some of the momentum. But I was thinking that it would be really good to choose a project that we can work on as a team this year. And that can be like a project that even people who maybe aren't able to make this meeting time and aren't able to be here at meetings, but they could still get involved. So yeah, I've put together this list here of things that have come up in the past year or so as possible projects, but I'm 100% open to any and all suggestions that you have as well. So if you have thoughts either about how any of these are terrible ideas, or like you've got something else that you think would be like the obvious first choice, go for it. I'll stop talking and let you share.
So is this an all Harvard initiative, or is it just the ed school?
Good question. This would just be ed school. Yeah.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. Because if I look at greenharvard.edu, that's the whole
school. That's the whole thing, right? We've got our page there. We have 2 pages online. That's one of them. The others is with operations. If you go to like Google operations, sustainability, ed school, HGSE, it'll bring it up. Yeah. So that's both, but yeah, this list of projects would be really focused at the ed school.
I am a big fan of sustainable commencement.
Nice.
It's a great one. I think it's not easy to do, but it's easy to measure.
Yeah.
And show what progress has been made, which can be cool. I think some of the other ones are a little harder to measure, right? Because you'll mm-hmm. capture information that isn't just about the ed school.
Or get done in like a semester and a half.
That too.
Yeah. So with sustainable commencement, are there any elements in particular that like jump to mind for you that you would really want to make sure are a part of that?
So, well, I mean, the first thing, I guess, is the gowns, caps and gowns. Mm-hmm. Are those rented or purchased?
I think the vast majority are rented. And I just was recently in touch with the Coop, the Harvard Coop down the street that which is where we get the gowns. And I was asking them if they would be open to switching to 100% recycled content, like recycled polyester gowns. And they said they already have. And I was like, well, that's fantastic. And now I haven't heard much more from them. They've kind of gone dark over there again. I need to find out from them more about that. But yeah, that's a good question, is first, like how many people are renting versus buying, maybe like, so, you know, pushing for people to be renting versus buying. And I can find out too the details on the recycled content.
Yeah. And then I assume people buy their caps, right? Those don't get rented.
Usually, I think. Do you know anything about that, Eric? Maybe you do.
Yeah. So the mortarboards are purchased, and then there's a lot more that goes into the doctoral caps than this meeting allows. But those are, yeah, those have been purchased.
Okay. Cool.
So, I mean, I guess you could give people a green option to not purchase a cap, which I doubt most people would do, because I think everyone wants to show that they graduated from Hugsy.
It is a souvenir. I think that those, you know, for the most part, the mortarboards and the TAMs are those are items that people either keep or they don't, but they're very generic. I don't think they're Harvard specific or anything like that. So at least the mortarboards are very generic. So I'd keep that in mind too.
So it might be interesting to see if those aren't made out of sustainable materials, or the other things, the tassels, sashes, anything else. Those might be things.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Recycled materials.
Yeah, I can look into that too.
Is there like a carbon footprint of how much gets rented versus how much is owned and
the vendor? Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
It's like food. Is it sustainable or local? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of obvious things. I'm sure there's, I don't know if there's maybe, if people decide that the commencement choice is a good one and there's a list of everything that goes into it, then maybe we could divide that up and start saying, can we shift this to a more sustainable choice? Can we shift this to a more sustainable choice and just work through it?
Absolutely. That's a great thinking. I like that a lot. Each piece of it. So the big pieces that I always think of and that we already work on each year at the ed school in terms of operations is just like making sure to offer water out of large water jugs that people are filling up cups or reusable bottles instead of using single use plastic bottles. We, to some extent, sort all of the waste, especially the waste from the student rooms where students are waiting to have, they get like a quick lunch before they get to go out and get their degrees. We in the past have hand sorted that waste into compost, recycling, and trash, just to cut back on the waste impact. And we also have compost, like all of our waste stations outside around the tent where the guests are gathered, have trash, compost, and recycling side by side to make it easy for people to separate, and signage that should make it pretty clear what goes where. So that's already somewhat in place, like that could be revisited and improved, but that's something that's already happening. Another topic I'm hearing a lot about this year is if there are going to be food options, some people are like at the Kennedy School, I think they're going to do this. They're going to go with something called default veg, which means you'll give students or guests the option to request meat or something like that, as a special request, but otherwise the default option that people are going to be given, unless they submit like a special request, will be a plant-based meal, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot around the food. I think. What else? You've been involved with enough commencements, Eric. Anything else jump out to you? There's always the plants. There's always like all the beautiful arrangements and people trying to see who wants to take that home at the end of the day. And what else goes on?
I mean, there's the renting of the there's like a huge tent.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of it. It's like, how does the tent arrive? And you know, it'd be more like worker solidarity with how it gets set
up. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But I mean, again, one of the complicating factors for all this is you know, Harvard has already taken a lot of steps to be green, and they've also taken a lot of steps to integrate their expenditure. So we were talking about how the information is very fractured on campus, but the expenditures have been streamlined, surprisingly. So the tent that is rented for graduation is also used by Radcliffe in the Institute for like the following weeks to host events in there. So a lot of like the tables and chairs, like that's all doubled up already. So like decoupling from that would have much, much larger ramifications than just saying we'd like to go with another vendor or something like that.
Oh, that's good to know. Right. But on the other hand, there's a case to be made too. And that's like, in some cases, it may be a matter of like with the recycled gowns, if they're already recycled, then that's really nice. We just want to make sure that people know about that and why that matters. So even with the tent, like it's kind of fantastic that that tent is put up and then instead of being, you know, set up, broken down, is left. And so you're saving on the transportation costs of somebody coming in and doing that multiple times over, and labor, you know, and everything, not just the cost, but also the, yeah, the environmental footprint of having trucks driving around with this equipment and not needing to set it up more than once, but instead getting several uses out of it. So that's an interesting point in terms of like what would be good that needs to, we just need to tell the story about it, and what instead is not good and needs to be improved. So yeah.
And I was going to add that Naomi mentioned measurables. I mean, a lot of this stuff is happening, and obviously commencement's like a great PR, you know, situation, for lack of a better term, where, you know, if we did institute a lot more like bike parking or scooter parking or whatever, that wouldn't be, that'd be on like a flyer or a poster or like a message board somewhere. But graduation is obviously much more of a focal point for the entire school. So you probably get a lot of good mileage out of that.
Yeah. Okay. Good thoughts.
Sorry to sound so ruthless, but that is the reality.
No, this is good. Well, and I can revisit the list, but it sounds like all of you on the call are interested in making commencement more sustainable. Should we do that one? Okay, cool.
It seems doable and like the most possible time of something to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great. Good. And the other thing that we could think about, I would say, is the events piece, because it's going to be especially interesting this year because there's going to be events going on for the graduating classes whose ceremonies were disrupted by COVID. But even aside from that, even in a normal year, there's several special, like big scale special events that go on the week of commencement. And so we could think about what we could do to make all of those events more sustainable, aside from just like the actual commencement ceremony and that special Thursday that you're all looking forward to. So that would be another big piece. And if you think of any other big pieces, there may be more, like some of you may have experience from your past institutions, other, you know, past graduations, where we're completely forgetting one other big piece. And if that's the case, certainly let me know. And I'll make sure that that's on our list of kind of buckets of things to tackle.
I think one other thing I would say, maybe if there are flowers or if there's anything like that, it's more decorative.
Yep.
You know, is it possible to eliminate it, take half the budget, and maybe offer students like, we will create a gift for the family members who helped you be here today, or something like that?
That's cool. Yeah.
That they can keep.
Okay.
I do love flowers, but it's true that they go to waste so quickly, which is
And how are they being sourced, maybe too, like are they being purchased? I'm assuming they're being purchased from a local shop, but like, you know, what are those flowers, what's in that and everything. Interesting. Okay, this is cool.
I think if we could maybe next time, if we can have like whatever the list is, the item list of everything, which I'm sure is pages and pages, what goes into it, and then we could go through and see what could be addressed and what things have already been addressed.
Definitely. And if I want to get some of this into a document that's easy to share, do you have a preference? Do you prefer Google Docs or other methods? I feel like a lot of us who are the employee side are using a lot of the Microsoft products, but that's not necessarily that helpful for those of you who are students. Do you have a preference? Like, for what do you use for group projects these days in classes? Are you using still Google Documents or other things for sharing notes and sharing documents that you're working on together?
We do use Google Docs. We also have been using Slack and Miro a lot.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I love Miro just because it's visual, but
nice. I don't know that one, but I'll have to look it up. It's cool.
It's like a giant whiteboard, digital Neat. Whiteboard. Yeah.
Neat. Okay. That's awesome. Glad I asked. Okay. All right, great. So yeah, I will, you were saying, Naomi, again, just to kind of get this all into categories for next time, and then we can kind of flesh out that list further at the next meeting.
Yeah, even if I mean, that sounds like something that usually there's not a lot of processes, and Harvard might be different, but in place that really supports sustainability. So it requires a lot of manpower, right? Mm-hmm. I would imagine we might have to get the list and then go through it line item by line item. And
be right. Yeah. And the next most helpful thing too, is then for item by item, it's like, who's going to be involved. So events is obvious. That would be the events team. A lot of it's going to be Office of Student Affairs, but yeah. The COOP, Harvard COOP, I don't know them well, but I've been in touch with them. So anyway, it's like all these different groups start to get involved. And even if there are people that we know elsewhere on at the Ed School campus who are especially knowledgeable or experienced at dealing with this, like all of the program managers or program directors, I imagine they would be a really good wealth of information. Like it might be worth meeting with them to pick their brains a little bit. But yeah, just kind of thinking through who knows it and who can help push it all this along. Cool. All right. Well, this is great. Let me just pull up the slides one last time and then I will stop sharing. So this has been great. Thank you guys for joining. Yeah, and I'm sorry we didn't get to hear from Lindsay Pockel, who's a current student, and others about this climate change ed project, but hopefully we can get them here at the next meeting in November. There we go. Oops, and there we go. Anyway. Okay, so I will share out the slides. I'm just double checking. I didn't have anything else for you guys. I will share out the slides soon, and then they will also be posted on the website. I believe it's operations.gse.harvard.edu. But stay tuned to the listserv. For those of you who are here on the call or listening, if you're not already on the Green Team listserv, that can be helpful. If you find the messaging annoying or anything that have suggestions, let me know. But it's a good way to be able to be in touch with over kind of sustainability advocates across all the spectrums at the Ed School. So I will stop recording here, but thank you so much for making it to the end of the recording and the end of the meeting, and hope to see you next month.